What I look at today is one verse, but just kind of a little background. If you have time today, if this verse really touches you as we talk about this, really encourage you to go back because it's the verse that leads into what most people call the model prayer. And two different books of the Bible to look at to read that. You can read that in Luke chapter 11, starts in verse 1. And you can also see it in Matthew chapter 6. I think it starts in verse number 5. And it's really good to read both of them because each of those two gospel writers, while most of the content is pretty much the same, they each add different things. There's each different perspectives that the Holy Spirit shared with each one of those that just adds a little bit more flavor, a little bit more insight. So I really encourage you to read both. But I do encourage you to read these things because this is the prayer closet. And it's talking about prayer. And this is what, again, people look at and say it's the model prayer. It's the example that Jesus gave us. And all of us are familiar with the words that come with this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the power, the glory, and the kingdom forever in Jesus' name. Now, we all know that. We all know that those are the words that are there. Okay, I added in Jesus' name because that's what we do. But we all know that those are the words. But how many times do we stop? Because each one of us has heard those words literally thousands of times in our lives. But have we ever really stopped to think about what the individual phrases mean that Jesus is telling to the disciples and telling us? Because there's a lot there. And if you feel like your prayer life, if you feel like it hasn't been raised or elevated to the place that you want it to be, if you feel like you lack that personal relationship, if you feel like you lack that power in your prayer, it's good to look at each one of these phrases and see exactly what Jesus is teaching us. And we'll look at that in the coming days. But today, I just want to look at the very first verse in Matthew. I'm sorry, in Luke. This is Luke chapter 11. And it says in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Then it goes from there and it says, Jesus said, "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say.'" And then it goes into the text we just read and the text, that model prayer that we are all so familiar with. But I want to focus on that first verse today because I think that just reveals so much about prayer. Before we look at the individual phrases about prayer. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" Now, to kind of get this all in context, this is chapter 11 of the book of Luke. If you go back to chapter 10, you're going to see that Jesus had just sent out the 70. And as he did so, he sent them out with power and authority to heal the sick, to overcome demons. And then if you go back to the chapter before that, chapter 9, you see that Jesus had sent out his 12 disciples with the same thing. He gave them power and authority. So this is already done. These things are already established. When here we are, and the disciples are watching Jesus pray. And this is just after, by the way, he sent out the 70, and then he had the whole parable about the Good Samaritan. Then he had just what precedes this directly is the story of Mary and Martha, and just the importance of receiving the word of God, receiving the things of Jesus, sitting and learning at Jesus' feet. That's what just happened. They've left from there. Jesus is off someplace, as we see that he does. His disciples are with him, but he separates himself, and he has this private time of his own prayer with God. And he has this time of prayer with God. He's finished, and you know the disciples wait till he's finished, and then they approach him. They say, "We want what we just saw that you had. Teach us how to do what you just did." Now, that makes me ask the question, what is it that the disciples saw when Jesus was praying that made them say, "You know what? We want what you have. Teach us how to do what you just did." You see, the disciples saw something in Jesus and Jesus' prayer that was different than their own prayer. They saw something that was incredibly different than how they'd prayed over their lives. They saw something that was different than how they saw the priests praying. They saw something different than all the religious men that they'd seen throughout their lives. They saw something different in the prayer of Jesus than they saw from those men. Something different and something astounding. Something that grabbed their attention and made them say, "I want that." What is it the disciples saw in Jesus' prayer that made them say, "I want that too"? I'm sure that when they saw Jesus praying, because when you look at how Jesus prays, look at the prayers that he offers up throughout the Gospels. When you see how Jesus prays, he prays and he prays with a relationship. The disciples could see that Jesus had a personal relationship with God the Father, and it was personal. It wasn't something distant. It wasn't something far off. It wasn't something to even hope for. It was a personal relationship and a personal conversation. It was something personal. It wasn't something done by rote. It wasn't something done out of habit. It wasn't something done that you just repeat the same things over and over. It wasn't something that was done because somebody gave you a list of these are the things that you pray, these are the things that you say when you pray, and this is how you do it. They saw that it was something personal. It was personal between God and Jesus, between the Father and the Son, and they wanted what that was. Now, it's staggering to me when you stop and think about it. Jesus had just given, two chapters ago, he had just given the disciples power and authority over all sickness and over all demonic activity. He invested in them the power and the authority that was his. So they've already operated in this power and authority. They've seen amazing things happen. You know what? They didn't ask for that. You don't see anywhere in the gospel that they came and said, Jesus, we see you heal. We would like to do that as well. Give us the power to heal. Give us the power and authority over demons. We want that because we saw it in you, and we want that. We don't see that. Jesus invested it in them. They didn't ask for it. This is one of the things that we see that the disciples come and they say, we want that. They've already got power and authority. They've already seen amazing things done. But what do they want? What is it that they're asking for? Teach us how to pray the way you just did. Teach us, because that's something we don't have. You know, I think most of us in our culture, I think most of us today in the body of Christ would seek after the power and the authority. In fact, I wouldn't say that most of us would. I would say if you look at the body of Christ, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That is great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. That's part of the power that we have. And part of the power that comes in prayer and the power of the word. It's what Jesus has invested in us. And it's great. We should see those things taking place. And we should desire to see those things. But we would desire those things and not the personal prayer, not the personal relationship, not that personal contact with God. It's entirely different with the disciples. They had the power. They had the authority. They saw miracles taking place, but what is it that they desired? What did they want to have? What did they seek? That personal relationship with God the Father. That's what they wanted. I think too many times, and again, I'm not saying, trust me, if you listen to this program, you know that I do believe in the miracles taking place today. You know that I do believe in the authority of Jesus and Jesus' name and the authority that we have in his name and in the word. I believe in all that, and it's vital for today. But I think the mistake that we make is we want the power and the authority, but we don't want what the disciples wanted. We don't want that first and that most elemental thing, which is that personal relationship with Jesus, or with Jesus and with God the Father. That is what we should be desiring. It's what the disciples desired. They didn't ask for power and authority. They got it. They didn't ask for it. They asked to be able to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to have that kind of personal relationship with God. That should be what our desire is too. You know what I find? I find that sometimes in my life, and maybe you'll relate to this, sometimes in my life, it's far easier to read the word. I mean, it's easy for me to read the word, and I love reading the word because every time I read it, I see something different, and it just excites my soul. Literally, it does. There's something I love about knowing the promises of God and being able to apply those promises to my life and help other people apply them to their lives. I love that. That comes easy, but you know what? It takes discipline, and it takes diligence to spend that kind of time in prayer. I'm just telling you. That's the way it is. It takes discipline and diligence. Now, I'm always vastly rewarded in my soul when I do. I always, always am thrilled at the things that he says and the things that I learn. But it takes diligence. I don't know why, but it does. And I think in many cases, that's the way it is in the body of Christ today. I don't think that we strive. I don't think that we have the hunger. I don't think we have the desire for the personal relationship with God the Father that the disciples did. And that we should. These are 12 men, 12 disciples that have watched Jesus closely. They've followed him for 3 years. And what is it that they desire to have after watching all those years? Teach us how to pray like that. Teach us. We want that personal relationship with the Father. For those men who walk with Jesus all that time, what they wanted, enough to ask for it, was a prayer life and that personal relationship with the Father. That's what they wanted. We don't want that today. It's a chore for us to do that. It's something that takes discipline and diligence to do that. Wow, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with our hearts? And what is our motivation in serving Jesus Christ? What's our motivation? Is it just salvation? Is it just that we would have our needs taken care of? Is it just that God would come and take care of us in those moments of crisis? Is that all that we really desire? Too often, the answer is yes. We should desire that personal relationship. That's what this prayer, that's what this model, quote-unquote, model prayer is all about. It's about the personal relationship. And that's what Jesus is teaching his disciples. Here's the great thing for you and I. The relationship that we have is even better. That personal relationship that we get through the time of prayer is even better than what the disciples could have hoped for. When Jesus laid down his life, we know that he continually is serving as intercessor. We know that now, because of his death and resurrection, and the disciples, when they asked this question, didn't have this opportunity. We can now go boldly. There is no separation between us and the Father. There is no separation between you and I and the Father. That still had not yet taken place. When these 12 disciples approached Jesus and said, hey, teach us to pray. We want that personal relationship. Jesus now seated at the right of the Almighty. Here's the question I think we need to ask ourselves. What is our desire? Most of us would clamor for that more power, for that more authority. Most of us would clamor to have God come and intercede in our life in those areas of need. Most of us would clamor for those things. But how many of us really attempt to have that personal relationship with God the Father so that you can say, God, you are a good God? How many of us want a close relationship to have our Lord right there with us? And how many of us are comfortable with a distant relationship, a distance that we put there? This is the way it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. This is what Paul says. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of the insight into the mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Paul prayed to the Ephesians in his letter. He said, listen, my prayer is that you will have that deep, intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Paul's prayer. Is that what we seek after? Is that what we strive for? Paul understood the importance of that. Now, we'll look at some of the phrases in Luke and also in Matthew. But let me just leave you again with this. This is Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Their hunger, their desire, what they wanted to have, what they wanted to see take place, was a personal relationship with God the Father. You and I have it much more, but is it what we seek?